are listening to Wells Tech, episode 620, recorded for January 28th, 2020. Classroom Management Apps. Wells Tech is a weekly podcast exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. It is a part of the podcast network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Our show today is hosted by Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Today, we are joined by Professor Rachel Fell from Martin Luther College, our educational technology-focused show, and we talk about classroom management apps based on some recommendations from The Cult of Pedagogy's The Teacher's Guide to Tech in 2020, a great resource that we just picked out a few apps and talked through some of the most useful ones that a teacher might implement in his or her classroom. We also were happy to have Cindy Holman, Wells National Coordinator for Early Childhood Ministry, join us to talk about her devotion that is published each week coming out of her department, the Early Childhood Ministry Educator's Devotion. So stay tuned for that and a lot more. Welcome back to Wells Tech, everybody. This is Martin Spriggs, and we're on episode 620, recorded on January 28th, that's a Tuesday, in the year 2020. Joining me, as usual, is Sally Draper. Hello, Sally.
Hi, Martin. Happy to be joining you today. We have a jam-packed show, and we have an extra person in the conversation, and that would be Professor Rachel Feld from Martin Luther College. Welcome, Rachel.
Hi, guys. It's great to be here.
Rachel or Jason, one of the two, joins us on our education technology focus show, which we do once a month, at least during the school year. And Rachel's gracious enough to carve out a little bit of time for us and talk about some cool things. And I am really excited about the show today because we're talking about some classroom management tools. So maybe we should take a one step back and tell our audience how we arrived at this topic. Where are we getting our good content from today?
Sure thing. So there is a PDF I came across, probably a couple of years ago. It's called The Teacher's Guide to Tech. And it's by Jennifer Gonzalez from Cult of Pedagogy. And it is a paid-for resource. I believe it's $25 that you can buy either on her website or on Teachers Pay Teachers. But for that money, you get 282 pages of different websites and apps to use in your classroom. They are all divided up by different types. So we've got assessment and comic strip creators and global learning and flipped learning, curation, digital portfolios, and then also under all the different content that you might teach. So math and music and history and social studies. It's just, there are so many resources in this PDF. It gets updated every year. I say I have purchased, this is the second time I've purchased it. So I purchased it 3 years ago and then purchased it this year in 2020. And it just, this is the kind of thing I kind of wish I had back when I was teaching grade school. I think it'd be definitely something for schools to look into if you're looking for a really concise list of tools that are worth checking out for your classroom.
So, Rachel, what is the cost and how do you use it now that you're in the position you are at Martin Luther College?
So the way I use it now, the cost is $25, and that $25, like I said before, you can get it on Teachers Pay Teachers or and we'll link that. Sally will link that in the show notes, please, Sally.
Yes.
And that gets you the PDF. They have, you can do it like a site license if you email the author and, you know, get pay for enough licenses for your school if everyone's going to have their own copy. But the way I use it right now is when I'm teaching my Teaching with Tech course is just when we talk about these things to just kind of go through and pick out either ones that I'm not familiar with or ones that, hey, I hadn't ever thought that we should talk about this in Teaching with Tech. Or if a teacher contacts me and says, hey, I'm looking for this in my classroom. This has kind of been my go-to guide for finding quick answers to tech tools in the classroom.
Neat. Yeah, what a great resource. And boy, there are a ton of resources here. And it's kind of nice, at least from my vantage point, to always get a list of curated resources rather than just kind of doing a Google search for, let's say in our case, classroom management, and you kind of get, you know, the fire hose of whatever Google thinks, you know, would be the most relevant search results. Sometimes that's good, sometimes not so much, but these are, as I mentioned, curated resources that don't just come out of hand, but they're researched and presented in a way that makes sense. So cool. So we're talking about classroom management. Maybe we ought to define what that is.
Sure. So we're, I guess there are kind of two thoughts to classroom management. One way you could go would be like device management in the classroom. And that's not the way we're going to go today. Today we're going to look more at some tools that can help you with student behavior in the classroom. And I would like to kind of preface our discussion with technology tools are not the answer to classroom management. They can definitely help and they can provide some great support, but it really starts with making relationships with your kids and having that understanding that they're children of God and sinful children of God, so they need forgiveness and they need love and patience and kindness and all those wonderful things. And once that's in place, then these tools that we're going to talk about today can definitely add an extra layer of sometimes fun to the classroom or sometimes just a way to keep track of all the things that those little kiddos are doing.
Right. So we picked eight. Or were there only eight in this category? I don't remember. Maybe there were only eight.
There might have only been eight.
So eight divided by three is not a number. So I took a bullet and or the short straw and took two. Right.
Huh?
So the ladies each get three. So we're just going to do a little round table. Go and let you pick one. Talk about it. Probably another disclaimer is that some of these we haven't actually used, but we've done a little bit of research. And hopefully that'd be enough to whet your appetite and kind of get you a sense for what these are and maybe some things that you might be interested in. So, Sally, maybe you want to kick us off with one of the ones that you looked at.
Sure. One of the ones I dug into was something called Behavior Flip at behaviorflip.com. Their tagline is a behavior management system that starts with school culture, not control. And so probably... the big deal behind this one is that it's not only about tracking behavior, but tracking coaching and resolution. So kind of some repentance type things that are built into it. But obviously they don't use that term. They use the term restore once, the student has made amends in some way or, been coached and is on a new track. So behaviorflip.com. Pricing starts at $3.99, and there's just tons of reporting that comes along with it and event tracking. So if something happens, it'll continue to flag on a student until there's this restoration, that kind of thing. That's kind of the brains behind behaviorflip.com.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just keep this moving along or we won't get through. Rachel, you want to do the next one?
Sure. So I looked at one called Class Craft, which you can find at classcraft.com. I know I have looked through their website on more than one occasion and gone, wow, that looks pretty cool. This is essentially a role-playing, like, fantasy game, but for your classroom. And so it gamifies basically everything that happens in your classroom. It's a freemium model, so you can have a free version, or it's $99 a year to upgrade and get extra stuff. But basically what you, as the teacher, end up doing is adding points to all sorts of different things in the classroom. And then your students make their little avatars, and they can go on quests, and you know, they can earn their points, and they can level up, and lots of different video game type things. And I don't think it would work super well in like a first and second grade classroom, but in an older classroom, depending on your culture, might be pretty interesting. It's something I've always been curious about checking out, just because I'm not very big on let's motivate our kids with points. Their motivation to, you know, do what they're supposed to should be love for their savior. But at the same time, some kids need that extra little push. And I think something like gamifying the classroom could be a fun little push to just make your classroom that much more exciting.
Interesting. That sounds neat. Mm-hmm. I'm up, and the one of the ones that I researched was actually not what I thought it was, and maybe it's a different product I was thinking of, but Class Dojo was the one that I did a little bit of research on. And Rachel, you can help me out if you've got any personal experience with this, because this seems to be one of the standard tools. And as I read it and looked at the videos and did my research, it seemed a lot like a mix of a number of different products, like Seesaw, for instance, where you can create classroom portfolios. Your students can create their own portfolios. And there's a parent component and a student component and a teacher component. They kind of bill it as, well, their tagline is, or their kind of main one-liner is, Class Dojo connects teachers with students and parents to build amazing classroom communities. So they're kind of leveraging that community concept and trying to figure out how to get everybody on the same page. So they're talking about creating positive cultures and giving students a voice and sharing moments with teachers. So a lot of the tools that they have here are meant for parents, teachers, and students to kind of be in the same space, you know, digital space, and look at some of the things that are going on within the classroom, kind of bringing parents digitally along inside the classroom. They say teachers can use this for free. And I don't know if there's some freemium kinds of things behind the scenes, but basically on their homepage, there is no cost. But basically a teacher sets it up, gives a code to students and parents, and away they go. There are some in-classroom kinds of things like group maker, making sure that you know, students can be put into randomized groups. It displays background or displays activity directions. So there's that component to it. I mentioned digital portfolios. They have some community-wide things with other schools in your area if you wanted to do that. They have a ton of resources and training tools. Devices, the device support is pretty solid, iOS, Android, Kindle Fire, and any computer, I'm assuming a Chromebook as well. One thing that I kind of care about these days more than I ever did was what is the privacy policy for these, and this one has a very strong one. So I took a look at that. You can read about all the safeguards that they put in place. Just a lot of great resources all kind of packaged into one and a nicely done app as far as I can tell as well. So that's your experience, Rachel, in looking at this. Are you familiar with Class Dojo?
Class Dojo did kind of start as the original behavior tracking app for teachers. And at the beginning, I wasn't super fond of it just because of the point system isn't how I ran my classroom, but definitely does work for other teachers. But since then, they've really expanded it, and it's a lot more than just behavior. like you were saying, all the portfolio and parent messaging, and it's a pretty robust classroom management system.
Yeah, that was kind of my impression going in, that it was much more than I had remembered it being described as, but it was more on-premise, you know, kind of keeping track of what the students were up to, more of a nanny-type approach, and this is way beyond that.
All right. Well, from way beyond that to something really simple and focused, I'm going to talk about bouncy balls. So I get the fun ones,
actually. That's
a
cool name. I like that.
Bouncyballs.org. And don't try .com. I tried it, and it doesn't go where you want it to go. So bouncyballs.org is basically a tool to control the sound level, the volume level in your classroom. So the concept is you put it on a computer that's projected so the kids can see this website on a projected screen somewhere. And it uses the microphone of that computer to gauge the sound level in the room. And as the kids get louder, the balls bounce higher and get more agitated. And when it's quiet, the balls are very still and not moving around very much at all. You can even set thresholds and have it make a shushing sound to your kids when they get past a certain volume level. And you aren't locked into bouncy balls. You can have eyeballs that bounce on the screen, which is really interesting. Or you can have bubbles and they kind of hover at the top and come down if the kids get loud. So it's just basically a visual cue that the kids are getting too noisy in kind of a fun way. They might want to make the balls bounce. I guess that would be the only downside of this one. Price is free, so you can't go wrong there.
Interesting concept.
Mm-hmm.
Rachel.
Yes.
What's your next one?
My next one is kind of similar to Sally's in that it is free and really quite simple to integrate in your classroom, and it's called Classroom Screen. So classroomscreen.com, it's meant to be projected in front of your classroom. And basically, it's a website with a bunch of different widgets or different little tools that you can quickly put up on your screen. So you can change the background to be a lot of different pictures or colors, or currently mine's a cute little kitty frolicking through grass. It's got a random name generator. It does have sound level similar to the bouncy balls one, a QR code generator, some drawing tools and text tools. I really like they've got a work symbols one. So from your screen, you can easily click and show an icon if it's time for them to talk because everyone's working together, or if it's time for them to be whispering because they should be working independently, or if it's time for silence because maybe you're taking a spelling test. You can also get quickly to a timer or a clock. And so all of these things just give you one-click access to show them on your screen. They've got exit polls and a couple of other things, completely free. The one bummer that I see to this site is that you can't save from one day to the next. So if you get all of your stuff set exactly how you want it, and then you come back to school the next day, if your tab has been closed, you've got to start over. However, to get the things back up there again is just a quick click. So it wouldn't take more than a few seconds to get everything back up again.
Interesting. Okay. Next one is mine, classroomq.com. And this is actually probably one of the simplest of all apps. And it is simply a system that allows for a student to easily ask a question or make a comment without raising their hand or standing up or shouting it out. So it's an app that they basically install. So the teacher hits a start button with a session. The students go to a website. They enter the code. And then when the student needs help or wants to make some kind of comment within the context of the classroom, they simply click the big red button that says assistance needed. They type in their comment, and then the teacher, through kind of a back channel app, gets that question routed to them. The teacher has some control over the order of the questions, and then they can dismiss the questions once they've been answered. So they could probably answer them in front of the class or go to the student's desk or to the student directly and address their question. So kind of a streamlined classroom raise your hand app that avoids disruption if you're maybe in a working session and now is not the time to take public questions. You can always still address the needs of your students and get to all of them. As far as I can tell, there is no cost. I'm not sure how they monetize this other than they have a shopping link where you can get Classroom Q t-shirts and socks and blankets and you can also get Samsung phone cases, et cetera, hoodies. So if that's your thing, there's plenty of swag there too. So that's Classroom Q. Very simple. There's a nice video by the founders. There's two guys that basically did this and make this available. Sounds like it might have some uses, I think, in different contexts.
I like it. I can imagine teachers struggling to stay on top of who asks the next question and keep up with everyone.
There are apps like this for conference presentations and such, and I would think that might have an application there too. So
very nice. My last one on the list is called Class Charts. You can find it at classcharts.com. Class Charts is a company based in the UK. So as I was reading and looking through some of the resources they provided, you see a lot of UK-oriented schools and things that are their examples and terminology as well. But the concept is to help you do seating plans. That's kind of the basis of the tool. You put in your students and different kind of demographic information about them, like their sex and their reading levels and different things like that. And then it'll generate different seating charts for you depending on what criteria you want to include. Added into that is the ability to track behaviors. So you can, you know, indicate positive things like they were quick thinking or they were contributing to the discussion or whatever it may be, or negative things. And you can actually use that as data to organize your seating charts as well. So if you don't want to put all of the people with negative behaviors together, it can disseminate them from, you know, into different parts of the classroom with your seating charts. I couldn't help but think, isn't that what teachers are doing in their head anyway? Don't they know where to place kids and get that best optimum behavior? But maybe if you're new at it or you need some help with it or you have a large classroom, this might be a good tool. I could not find pricing. I believe this is a fee-based tool, but I couldn't find any pricing. It was all about requesting a demo, contacting them to get access to demo things. So that's what I learned about Class Charts.
All right.
And Rachel, I think you are bringing it home with the grand finale.
Yes, we have saved, in my opinion, the best for last. And this one is very different than the ones we have shared up to this point. It's called Go Noodle. And if you teach children and have not heard of this site yet, I would suggest you check it out. So Go Noodle isn't so much about tracking behavior or, you know, keeping tabs on who's doing what, as it is giving students a way to kind of get active and to be more have more movement in your classroom. And I can tell from personal experience that leads to much better classroom management. So Go Noodle is a free website. You can pay $10 a month for additional content, and it's all video based. So these videos cover a wide variety of topics. They do have curricular topics. So they've got like ones on the water cycle or talking about capital letters and periods. And you haven't lived until you've heard a bunch of first and second graders rap about the water cycle. It's just so fun. Then they've also got like some sensory and motor skills as far as, you know, cross-lateral things and coordination and fine motor skills and balance. I always found these really interesting when we did them in my classroom, just to see who could do them and who couldn't. It was just one of those interesting pieces of information to stick in your teacher brain. And just see how those kind of things correlated. Then they've got just some fun ones as far as dancing or holidays. They've got a fun birthday one that we would do for everyone's birthday. They have indoor recess. At my school, we did not have a gym. And so if it was super cold or rainy or snowy, we were often stuck in our classroom for recess. And so they have specific video playlists that are a specific set amount of time, and they make it so they start with like really jumpy, exciting ones and then kind of taper off towards the end so that they're maybe a little calmer when it's time to come back. So I would mix that up with obviously free play, because we don't want to structure every minute of our kiddos' days, but sometimes they needed just to really, really think, really have some structured movement to force them to move around. And then the last part that I probably found the most impact in my classroom was with their mindfulness videos. One area I struggled with my kiddos was in coming in from recess. And they would be so excited and so, you know, fighting over who did what in the kickball game, and we won and no, you won and that was a foul, and or just being so excited their team won. And it was hard for me often to get them back on track. So I started doing one or two of these mindfulness videos where they would talking about deep breathing and turning yourself off and cooling yourself down and having control over your emotions. And that really helped them, because they knew when we came in from recess, we would do one of those and then it was time for working. And in my opinion and in my experience, it really lessened the time it took to get from recess to working again. So I really enjoyed those videos in my classroom.
I might need one of those for after lunch.
I've seen some men's church softball games that could use this afterwards.
There you go. Sounds like a winner.
All right. Remind us again what the doc is that we're pulling this from. And
what this the price comes is. From the 2020 version of the Teacher's Guide to Tech, which is from Jennifer Gonzalez from Cult of Pedagogy.
And that was $25 and you get it in PDF form. And this is just a sampling of the 280 some odd pages of good stuff that's in there. So very good. All right. We were blessed to also have an interview this week, Sally. We asked Cindy Holman, our Wells National Coordinator for Early Childhood Ministry, to join us to talk a little bit about her work and specifically about the early childhood ministry educators devotion. Quite the handle for very, very special devotion, where we've had this going for a number of years now. It's available in text, and she narrates it for folks as well, weekly devotion. So we had a chance to sit down with her and talk a little bit about that. So why don't we listen to that now?
Joining us on Wells Tech today is Cindy Holman, who serves as the Wells National Coordinator for Early Childhood Ministry. That's a mouthful, Cindy. Happy to have you here.
I'm excited to be here too. Thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah, thank you. We are doing kind of a Bible study focus on Wells Tech this year. And one of our featured Bible studies in the Wells app and available on wells.net is a Bible study that's geared for early childhood ministry educators. And you're the voice behind that Bible study, I'm sure, a lot more than just the voice. But before we dive into talking about your Bible study, maybe you want to just introduce yourself to our audience.
So, as Sally, as you said, I serve as the early childhood coordinator for the Commission on Lutheran Schools. And in that role, it's really a role that is centered around serving. So any way that we can serve our congregations, our early childhood ministries, or those who are serving in them. And hence the early childhood devotions. It's just one of the tools that we use, certainly to encourage those who are serving in an early childhood ministry in their spiritual growth.
So take us back, Cindy, to the time before we had these devotions, as we've already introduced them a little bit. And what kind of went through your mind as saying that there's a need here? What was the purpose? What was the thought process to saying, hey, we're going to put in some hard work to make this happen?
The devotion started in 2015, and the idea for the devotions came as we considered those who were serving in an early childhood ministry. We felt that the needs, the day-to-day tasks that they go about, even the community that they were serving, was somewhat unique, and that a daily devotion that was written by and for them, really specifically targeting the kinds of things that they come across in those ministries could really be a blessing for anyone serving. The audience is really anyone who serves with young children. It might be someone in our early childhood ministries, the director, the teacher, a classroom aide, even a parent volunteer, but it would also apply to anybody who works on a regular basis with young children. So it could be a Sunday school teacher, somebody in a Mommy's With Me program. Even parents, I think, could find a benefit to some of the devotions.
So what about the production of this? You had the idea, and in 2015, you were ready to start. You turned it into a regular podcast. Comes out on a weekly basis, is that right?
Yep, it comes out once a week. So back when the idea came about, Martin was one of the people that I came to and said, how do I do this? I don't have a clue how to do this. So meeting with Martin and others who could help me through the technology and just the process of how it works. And very simply, what we do is we have reached out to a number of people who either are currently serving in an early childhood ministry or have in the past or have some sort of strong connection to an early childhood ministry. We wanted those who are writing the devotions to understand the ministry so they could speak really specifically. So we have the list of those who write our devotions varies from year to year, but there's a core of about five or six people who write the devotions. They send them to me, and then the devotions are sent to a pastor who then reviews them, both for mechanics and certainly for doctrinal accuracy. Once that review is done, we do a little bit of editing on our end, and then I send it to our office to make it ready to go up in the print form. And then I record the devotions in my office on a quiet morning and get those ready to go as well.
What makes these different? What makes these specific to early childhood? What kind of topics and those kinds of things go into kind of the set that you want to publish?
If you would read through the devotions, I think that you would find there's a wide variety of the kinds of things that are focused on. Some of them are, you would maybe consider them more generic. They're really topical, guided by the Bible verse, of course, but many of them really get specific to the day-to-day tasks, the day-to-day challenges, the day-to-day opportunities that you would find in serving with young children or serving parents of young children. Part of the blessing of our early childhood ministries is the variety of families that we serve. A significant number are Wells families, lifelong Lutherans. Some of them are from other Christian congregations. And then we also have a significant number of families that we serve that come from no church affiliation, no connection to a Christian church. And so that variety of parents and families that we serve lends really well to some of the topics that are covered in the devotions.
And coming up on your 5-year anniversary, I guess. Congratulations on that. It seems like we just started podcasting and here we are in like our 13th year. So time flies.
It does.
Any success stories or any feedback that you've gotten from the devotions?
Yeah, just occasionally that, you know, you run across people who will just be grateful for that opportunity to gather around the word once a week with their faculty or with a fellow team member. I think some of the stories come out in the devotions themselves, those who write the devotions, and some of the stories that they share, how the gospel has touched the hearts of a child or a family, and carrying that forward as a word of encouragement, trusting in, as Isaiah said, that his word will not return to him empty.
The future, just keep on going? Is that the approach that you're taking at this point? If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
That's how we're looking at it. We are looking at maybe doing a little bit of retooling it in the sound of it, kind of thing. We want to get some new music because you know everything could be updated from time to time. But the basic format, it's meeting a need, and we plan to continue.
Excellent. We understand you're just off of leadership conference attendance. Was that an exciting time for you?
Oh, mountaintop experience is so overused, but I have to say that it was just really an exceptional 3 days. Incredible speakers, wonderful worship, and as with all good conferences, those opportunities to connect with people in between all of the growth opportunities that we had there was just really exceptional.
Excellent. Well, thanks for taking the time. Busy day for you to get back in the office and everything, but we appreciate it very much. And God's blessings on the early childhood ministry devotion effort.
Thank you both, and thanks for the opportunity.
Thanks, Cindy.
You know, Martin, I often refer to Wells.net as like a treasure trove, and we just uncovered one more gem that's out there for folks to make use of in a lot of different settings, I believe. Certainly early childhood ministry. I love that Cindy mentioned that the faculty maybe gathers for a devotion time and listens to this together.
Yep.
What a neat use of the tools that are there, or the devotions that are there. So check it out and add it to your reading or podcasting list.
Yep. And not just if you're in one of those narrow categories of an early childhood educator, I think there's value there for parents and others as well. So very good. News and tech.
What's got a list of things around our friends at Microsoft today. I guess the biggie is that Microsoft has a brand new Edge browser. It's still called it Edge, but it's been rebuilt underneath the
new
hood
engine, right?
To use the Chrome operating procedures. I think it's called Chromium. Is that right?
That's right.
So what I found to be cool as this was rolling out, there were different articles around, for instance, how to use extensions in the browser, the new Edge browser. You can actually use Chrome extensions from the Google store in the Edge browser. So Microsoft has their own store full of extensions, but you can bring in your favorite Chrome ones as well. I think they kind of disclaimer it. Your mileage may vary. It may not perform exactly the same in Edge. I found another article, Martin, that Microsoft is now adding new features to Google Chrome.
Right. They're a big contributor now to the open source Chromium project, which is good news for everybody. So, one advantage, I guess, I would suggest for the Edge browser. Some people will say, well, why don't I just use Chrome? I think memory management, and they've kind of stripped out some of the cruft that is the Googly stuff, where you're having to have a Google account and syncing and all the things that Google does to their browser, and they're pulling that out as well. One thing that came to my mind as we were talking about this, and I was thinking about this, is that when you are managing technology for a faculty, for an institution, for an organization, there is value in standardizing on a browser. So rather than just let everybody use what they want, because there are many choices now, there's still Internet Explorer, there's the old Edge, there's the new Edge, there's Chrome, there's Firefox, there's Opera. You know, there seems like a new browser of the day, each and every month. While it's nice to have some of that freedom, it's very difficult to support that. So if you're trying to help people navigate, you know, the World Wide Web and use different applications, that you may not be able to replicate their problem if you're using a different browser. So you may not be able as able as you could if you were all kind of using the same system and could see the same experience. We see that all the time when we roll out our app, Sally, where it's important to test on lots of different browsers, but boy, it's nice that we can count on the people, at least in this building, to be using the same browser so we know what they're getting.
Right. And I do think, you know, it is an advantage from a developer's standpoint that Microsoft is standardizing on this Chromium. So yep. Hopefully there's one less thing that they have to make it work on, you know.
But, exactly.
But yeah, definitely a good idea to standardize. Just a couple of more Microsoft articles that we'll throw links to in the show notes. One is how to upgrade from Windows 7 to Windows 10 for free. And you heard that right. There was a window, and that window is way past that you could upgrade for free from Windows 7. But this article claims that if you try to upgrade from Windows 7, they don't charge you for it, even though that window is supposedly passed. So check that out if you're still back there on Windows 7. You want to move on. And then this one for the gamers that are listening, I learned that Minecraft for Windows 10 is available for free if you purchase the Java edition before October 19th of 2018. So I think a lot of people are on the Java edition of Minecraft. That was mm-hmm. kind of where things started. Mm-hmm. But there are some advantages to going Windows 10 with Minecraft, and you can get it for free if you're one of those early adopter kind of people.
And as we know, Minecraft is not just for gamers, but there's a solid educational application.
Absolutely.
Right? All right, let's go to Wells Now.
And just last week, our congregational services area announced something they've titled E20, and that stands for Easter 2020 resources, basically, that they've made available. And there's a wide variety of them. There's print resources, social media advertising, evangelism materials, worship folder templates, school resources for Sunday school and elementary school use. So just a treasure chest is waiting for you out there on the wellscongregationalservices.net website. We'll include a link in our show notes to the E20 resources that are available for free download.
Very good. Thank you. We've reached the point in the show that we call our Picks of the Week. It's a segment where we kind of take a look at what we've been using, what's caught our fancy, what's been useful to us, or maybe just even fun. It doesn't necessarily even have to be tech. Sometimes we don't do that either. We go around the table again and offer what our Picks of the Week are. Rachel, Pick of the Week.
All right. So mine is a website called copyrightandcreativity.org. And it's copyright and creativity for ethical digital citizens. I came across this when I was prepping for class last week. We talked about copyright. And this website has curriculum for elementary school, middle school, and high school, and also has a free professional development for teachers. You can log in for free to their course site that they've put on Canvas, which is a learning management system, and you can learn about copyright basics and fair use basics and acquiring and sharing copyrighted works. And then I think when you're done, you get a little certificate saying that you know things about copyright now. As I've found in teaching with tech class about copyright, there's just a lot of layers to copyright in general. And so understanding those layers and especially how they work with technology resources, things you find on the internet, I think becomes more and more important. So this site looks to be a good one for not only teacher professional development, but also teaching our kiddos about copyright.
Excellent.
Very nice.
We're going to talk more about copyright in a few minutes when we get to the community feedback section. So great lead into that as well. Very important topic. And I'm going to be up next with a pick of the week. And my pick of the week is something I discovered not long ago called the NPR Student Podcast Challenge. Didn't know such a thing existed. Reminded me of the Google Doodle Challenge, where students are encouraged to submit Google Doodles. And I think that's going on this year again right now. But this one is student podcasting. So you pick the topic, get a group of students together, and put together a podcast. I believe it's for grades 5 through 12, and the podcast length should be between 3 and 12 minutes long. And you can look back at last year's winners. I believe this is only the second year where they've done this, but being NPR, they feature segments of the podcast on their morning edition or All Things Considered. So some pretty big listenership there that your students could be a part of if they're the winners. What I found really interesting about this is that they link to a lot of supporting resources. There's an article about one of the teams that won last year, and I think they picked two teams at grade level differences or whatever. But one of the teams, and they kind of followed up with the students a year later. How did it impact you to do this podcast and have it be the winner? And, you know, what are you doing with the knowledge you gained and things like that? But then also, there's an amazing teaching podcasting curriculum guide for educators. So whether you want to enter the contest or not, I would say that this is worth checking out. It's quite extensive. Covers learning about podcasting, planning your podcast, podcast production, and then obviously the submission guidelines and things. So if you head over to the website, we'll have a link in the show notes. It's part of the NPR website, but you can check out the Student Podcast Challenge and especially the podcast curriculum resources they provide.
Very nice. Good find. Mm-hmm. My pick of the week is a hardware pick. A few weeks ago, maybe a month or so ago, I picked up a new set of earbuds, the Amazon Echo Buds. They are in-ear wireless Bluetooth earbuds that are kind of a competitor to Apple's AirPods. Although, actually, the AirPods Pro, which is the latest one, are in-ear as well. The previous AirPods are, they kind of go in your ear, but they don't have little silicone tips that go all the way in, so they're kind of loose-fitting. These actually go in. There's three separate size tips that you can use, and there's little wings you can put on them that hold them a little bit more securely. They're nice for exercising and running. I use them for that for the most part. But one of the neat things about them, they have Alexa built in, of course, because Amazon doesn't make anything that doesn't have Alexa built in. They have active noise cancellation or noise, they call it active noise reduction. You could put them in and then it will basically drown out, I'm not sure the way it works, but it basically listens for rhythmic sounds. So it will hear different things that are irregular sounds, but things like a treadmill, you know, which is what I'm, you know, using them on for the most part, it will drown that out so you can actually hear what's going on. And that's kind of what I was looking for. They also have pass-through mode as well, which is kind of nice, where it actually amplifies the sound from the outside into your ear. So it passes the sound through to your ear, and then it has neither active noise reduction or pass-through. So it would be just like a regular earbud. I would say the battery life is pretty good. 5 hours, I think I can get out of them, maybe a little bit less depending. You can put one in, and as you take it out, it'll pause the music or, you know, the YouTube video or whatever. It comes with a charging case, which is slightly bigger than the AirPods case, if you're familiar with AirPods. That doesn't bother me because I'm usually not, you know, carrying them around in my pocket. They come in, multiple colors? I think maybe it's only black at this point. So you get black or black. The active noise reduction technology is from Bose. I'm a big fan of Bose. I've got some noise canceling earphones, which I take on the plane with me, which totally, you know, crying babies, you know, everything I can't hear, which is great. Sweat resistant, secure fit. They have not, you know, I've not had any trouble with the fit. They actually even have a little app built in. You have to download the Alexa app to fit it, because there's an app that'll make a sound and it will track whether it can hear sound coming out. So it'll say, yeah, you've got the right ear tips on. It's blocking everything that it should be blocking. So only had them for a couple months, but very impressed. One of the great parts about this pick is they just went on sale. I think previously they had been about $125, $130. They're on sale right now on Amazon for $129.99 is the list price. Now they're $89.99. So this is the first time they've been on sale since they've been released. So if you're in the market and don't want to pay the $200 and something for AirPods Pro, this might be a great alternative. I've been pretty impressed. So
I'm curious about the switch from the Apple.
I still use those. So I still have the original AirPods. Mm-hmm. So when I'm listening to them, like my iPad or whatever, personal viewing, movie or whatever, I'll still wear those. Mm-hmm. But for running or for things where I want to kind of block out the sound, these mm-hmm. kind of take that role. Mm-hmm. So
another level of that.
Yep.
Huh?
So awesome. I've got a few more that I've tried over the years that are hanging around too. These are these and the AirPods are the ones that are truly wireless or truly, the other ones I have kind of have this connector around the back of the neck. Mm-hmm. You've seen those. Mm-hmm. These are actually individuals that you can plug into one ear at a time. So pretty cool. And the price is very competitive now and I would say of decent quality. So I think Amazon's strategy is sell these for a reasonable price, get people hooked on the Amazon ecosystem, mm-hmm. And that's a win for everybody. So you can talk to your earbuds, you can talk to your microwave, your clock, your whatever. They're happy when all that happens. So, all right. Next up is the ministry resource you referenced, Sally.
Yeah. I believe we want to talk now about ChristianWorship.com, a brand new website that was announced at last week's leadership conference, mm-hmm. the big conference held in Chicago last week. They did a preview of the coming Christian worship hymnal to be released, I believe, Advent 2021 is the target for that. But you can learn more and see some examples and things from ChristianWorship.com. And along with that, you can actually watch the Facebook Live video that is from the leadership conference and hear them introduce Christian worship, the new hymnal at the leadership conference. Lots of positive feedback so far.
Yeah, nicely done website, covers all the bases. There are still some unanswered questions as the hymnal committee is still kind of rolling some of this stuff out. Most of the print stuff is done, needs to be done and approved and to get to the printer and whatever. But a lot of the digital things we're still working on. So, bookmark this site, and we're really happy that we got that URL, ChristianWorship.com, easy to remember and a place that you may want to visit occasionally to see what the updates are.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we're going to jump now into community feedback, and a couple of things are happening in the Wells Tech community and the things that we touch. First off, you may remember back on our show earlier this month, I talked about some artwork that I was doing on my new iPad using Procreate. As a follow-up with that, Cindy Krieger wrote to us and said she learned that Canva, which is a kind of a digital publication development tool website, it's actually coming to Mac and PC. So there's going to be a desktop version, which is kind of interesting. We've heard about this on other software, kind of going back to the desktop away from the web app or in addition to the web app. So at this point, Canva hasn't released yet, but there is a sign up where you can be among the first to get the Canva desktop app. So we'll have a link to that in the show notes. And as I was looking at their website, I realized that schools can qualify for the pro features of Canva for free. It's a new program, fairly new, and you can get more details on that at canva.com/education. So if you want to use Canva in your classroom and use some of the more extensive features that are available with their pro version, you can get that for free. So check that out.
Very good.
Next up, we heard from Pastor Tim Wagner. He serves at Riverview Lutheran Church in Appleton, Wisconsin, and he's looking for a member photo submission solution. So a way to receive photos from members. They want to build a library of photos that are of church events and things like that, that they can use in some of their marketing and social media posts. They're looking primarily for photos of church and school ministry activities. And obviously, you could just say email them to the church office or whatever, but he was looking for more of a tool to do that with. And, you know, we struggled with that same question mm-hmm. as we did our Wells Tech Photo Challenge, and we eventually came up with a form that they filled out and submitted the photos to us, mainly because we want people to indicate that they are giving up rights to these, that they have the appropriate permissions to do that. They own the photos and have permission from the people in the photos, that kind of thing. Pastor Wagner also posted the question out on Facebook on the Wells Intersection site, and someone suggested perhaps using Dropbox. They have upload your files to share with me kind of feature. And then some questions about copyright came up, and permissioning and security and things like that. More and more I'm seeing a variety of pictures from church and school settings on Facebook in particular. So just make sure you check things out and have the proper permissions in place so that you can use the photos and use them, obviously, for the safety of all and that kind of thing.
Yeah, thanks for the question, Tim.
Yeah, just today I also had a question or saw an article about copyright in the church setting. I thought it was an interesting thing. This Sunday is Super Bowl Sunday, Martin. I think you might have a little interest in that
ball
game.
A dog in this hunt, yes.
Yeah, he's a San Francisco fan. I know that's true. And so some churches may choose to host Super Bowl watching parties, have a big screen up and provide some refreshments and things like that. And there are, believe it or not, copyright issues around that, things that you want to be sure that you're taking into consideration as you advertise performance of the
right.
Super Bowl. So check out the article from Christian Copyright Solutions and, just make sure you're covering all your bases there. It's not anything real difficult, but worth following the rules correctly for copyright purposes. Yep. And then finally, in community feedback, a recent question about video recording and live streaming is out there being discussed, different hardware and software solutions. We'll have a link to the Google group discussion with that feedback, and also throw out a link to our interview with Philip Wells. We did interview him about a year ago, mm-hmm. and he has a great website, streammyworship.com, where he's pulled together a lot of resources and things as well. So check those out if you're looking to get into video streaming or recording.
Right. Never ceases to amaze me some of the talent and the knowledge that exists out there in the Wells Tech community, and lots of great feedback and very timely responses to some of these questions. So if you have technology questions, there are some great resources out there. You can always ask a question, and if we don't know the answer, we'll throw it out there, and I'm sure somebody does within the Wells Tech community. Go to our show notes page, wellstech.wells.net, and you can see all of the shows there, all the great notes that Sally puts together each week. You can replay, obviously, the show, links to everything that we talk about, a way to comment on a show, which is great feedback for us. If you have a question or a comment, we'll raise that here. And then across the top, upper right, there are a bunch of icons in different ways that you can connect with other pieces of the Wells Tech community, so to speak, on the social networks, Facebook and Twitter and the Google group that Sally mentioned. There's a link there. So all kinds of ways to get connected with this group and be a part and enjoy it and join the conversation. So, Sally, I think that just leaves our video of the week.
Yep, and I'm going to do a special dedication with our video of the week. Rachel, I'm dedicating it to you because you brought us to Noodle. And Noodle, Go Noodle, sorry, has a YouTube channel I found. So there's a lot of free videos. If you want to try out some of their videos, look at their YouTube channel. We'll have a sample one. This one is called Playing with Fire, Get Fired Up. And it's actually kind of a movie promo for a movie called Fired Up, which came out last fall. But just a lot of fun. It'll get you moving, get your kids moving in the classroom. And yeah, I moved a little bit when I checked it out even. So fun stuff.
You had a song or a video dedicated to you before, Rachel?
I have not. This is a first. Okay.
It's a very straight from day. Casey Kasem, yes. Yeah. Those of you old enough to remember Casey. All right. Really happy that everybody listened this week, and we're happy that you do make that decision. We know you have a lot of options out there, a lot of different podcasts you could be listening to, but you decided to tune into ours, and you stayed till the end, so we appreciate that as well. We're going to be back next time talking about one of our themes of the year, and that's devotions. Specifically family devotions in for this particular episode that's coming up. Lots of different options out there for that as well. And we're going to talk to some guys who've been around the block a little bit with online Bible information class. So you're going to want to tune in for that special conversation. So thanks again for joining us. Rachel, thank you for joining us again. Really appreciate you doing that.
You're welcome. It's always a good time.
And we'll talk to everybody next time. Bye-bye.